ask you to pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be with these friends today. Thank you, Father, as you said in those last two songs, how if we seek you first, you add everything else to us. And how, Father, we have a life that you've given us, that, Father, you have shown us your great grace, and you have blessed us in so many ways. I pray, Father, that today, as we look at your word and as we talk about the things that are on my heart, Father, that you would lead us and guide us and help us to realize even how much more graced we are as your family of God and as Westwood Baptist. Thank you, Father, for today. I pray that you'd be honored in the next few moments. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may have a seat. So I know most of you, and I didn't know what to expect this morning. We're driving in, it's rainy, and I am thinking, oh my goodness, I'm gonna be preaching to about 200 people. But man, we've got a room full, so thank you for being here today. It's been my prayer that I would have someone to speak to as God has spoken to me about what I want to share today. So my name is Rick Callahan, and I'm the pastor of families here at Westwood. Carla, my wife, and I have been here 10 years already. Man, it's been a blast. Thank you. It's been so much fun. And so we get to work with children. We get to work with preschoolers. We get to work with teenagers. We get to work with all those families. We get to do some big, fun activities. We get to lead kids in Bible study and prayer times and help teach them. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But I want you to know that you, Westwood, y'all have been a blessing to us. We have thoroughly enjoyed being a part of this church. And so, and we're going to continue, by the way. I'm not leading you to something. Yeah, we're going to continue. But I want you to know that you have been a blessing to Carla and I and to my ministry. I mean, I look back at all the churches that God's allowed me to serve, and they've all been wonderful. And I look at my life, and I told somebody the other day, and I mentioned it in the prayer, I have lived a graced life. I'm blessed. Chances are you are too. I mean, God's given me a good family, a good spouse, you know, good extended family, wonderful church friends. How about you? Are you blessed? Are you graced? Yeah.
Too blessed to be stressed.
Too blessed to be stressed. I love it. I want you to know this, guys, that everybody in our world doesn't live a graced life. Everybody seems to have challenges, even those of us who are in church on Sundays. You know, I look around the room, and we've got families of all different sizes and shapes. You know, some of you are in families where you're just a single adult. Some of you have been through a divorce, and maybe you're trying to allow God to lead you to something new in your life. Some of you have tragedies and challenges in your family that you don't want to talk about. But I want you to know God knows you, God loves you, and he wants your family to be exactly what it should be. So children, I want to say this to you today. Children in here of all ages, because we didn't have nursery today, we didn't have preschool children. I want you children to know that today this message is for you. Okay? It's for you, and it's for your parents. Grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, this message is for you as well. So I want you to help me real quick, just to make sure we're on the same page as we start. If you are part of a family, raise your hand. All right, that gets everybody in the room. All of us are part of a family. Could your family always be more godly? Just a little bit, raise your hand. Yeah, we all need help, don't we? There's a man who wrote an article named Louis Marcos. He is a psychiatrist who lives in New York. And he wrote this article when he was 77 years old. And it's called A Silent Tragedy. Now, this article has been passed around since 2020. It's been passed around to school educators, to administrators, to counselors. It's been used as a medical reference for people who do psychiatric care and psychological care. It is an article that's been on the internet. You'll see it every now and then pop up on something and go away. And I'm going to encourage you to go read the article. I'm going to share some of it as we get started today. So, Marcos says, there's a silent tragedy that is unfolding today in our homes, and it concerns our most precious jewels, our children. Our children are in a devastating emotional state in the past 15 years. Researchers have given us alarming statistics that are on a sharp and steady increase in childhood mental health and mental illness, and that is now reaching epidemic proportions. These stats do not lie. Here's just a few. He says 1 in 5 children have mental health problems now. In the last 15 years, there's been a 43% increase in diagnosed ADHD. There's a 37% increase in adolescent depression and a 200% increase in the suicide rate between the ages of 10 and 14. You may know of some of those situations that are taking place around your family or around your community. He says, we must ask what's happening and what are we doing wrong? Better yet, his question is, what are the things that we can start doing right? He goes on to say, today's children are being overstimulated and overgifted with material objects, but they are deprived of the fundamentals of a healthy childhood, such as emotionally available parents, clearly defined limits, balanced nutrition, and adequate sleep. Creative outdoor play. Instead, in recent years, children have been filled with digitally distracted parents, endless stimulation, instant gratification, and absence of boredom. What should we do, he asked. If we want our children to be happy and healthy individuals, we must wake up and get back to the basics. At this point in this article, he challenges parents to implement several changes in their home. If you go and read the article, The Silent Tragedy, he's going to give you about 20 or 25 ideas that are just fantastic. They're very practical. Today, one of the things that I want to do is give you some very practical ideas, some very practical habits to help your family be more godly. As parents, we have so much that we can do to eliminate the potential of these silent tragedies, he said. Truth is, it's difficult for us to lead our families well. Would you agree with that? Even at best, it's difficult to lead our families well. Things are changing all the time around us. We deal with so much. Just dealing with technology is a major challenge. I watch these kids come through our ministry at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and they're so innocent. They get a cell phone, things change. A big challenge. And I know a lot of you parents that I'm looking at out there, you deal with this every day. And you're like, how do I handle this and how do I handle it well? Hopefully some of the things we share today will help you. Now, I didn't share this information today to cause any of us to be afraid. I shared it because I want us to still know it's possible to lead our families in a godly way. Our heart's desire as parents and grandparents, or even parents-to-be, should be to see our children understand the gospel, fall in love with God's word, and to find the joy that comes from living for Jesus. Okay. So we as parents, we as grandparents, we as children, especially teenagers, we know that sin is crouching at our door, right? It's from Genesis 1:7. Sin is still there. We also know that Satan is walking around like a roaring lion seeking to do what? Devour us. We know that he is there. So we have to combat that with the grace that God gives us when we stand up and choose to be godly. So today's message is for everybody in the room, myself included. So I hope for the next few minutes you'll listen very closely as I share some important things. So I know that dads have a lot of pressure on them because I am one. Got 2 daughters that are grown now. They weren't always very responsible very responsible adults. There have always been good girls. But there's a pressure that's on me as dad. You know why? Because I've been told all my life that the father is the spiritual, what? Leader of the home. That puts a lot of pressure on us. Matter of fact, sometimes your wife may remind you that, hey, this is your responsibility to be the spiritual leader of the home. But I know after 45 years of ministry, I figured out some of the key ways, the key things that keep dads from being the spiritual leader. And I've heard dads say this. I even heard a dad say two of these recently. So the first one is this. If you want to take notes, you can write these down. It's habitual sin. Habitual sin. The dad will say, well, I've got this sin in my life. I can't get over this sin. I can't get past this sin. I've tried really hard. I've asked people to help me. I've prayed. I've done everything I can, but I got this sin in my life. As long as I've got this sin in my life, I can't lead spiritually. I feel guilty. I feel sort of disqualified to lead my family well with this sin in my life. So habitual sin. The second one would be this. You had a bad role model. You say, you know what? My dad wasn't at home. He was working all the time. Or my dad came home and he was disengaged from the family. Or my dad was a really poor dad. He was abusive. He talked bad. He mistreated my mom. My dad was an okay man, but he wouldn't go to church with us. He would never take part in anything spiritually. So I don't know how to do that. That's an excuse, guys. You're not your dad. You're in a different place. You can make a choice to be different. Some men may say, well, my spouse is really good at it. My spouse is leading our family well. So I'm going to back up a little bit because she's got it going on so good. I don't want to mess anything up that she's trying to do. So it would be your spouse is doing the leading. So you take a second role or either no role at all. And the fourth excuse that we hear from men is, A lack of practical steps. You just don't know what to do. You're like, I really want to do it. And that's a conversation I had recently with a man from our church. He said, my dad was not a good role model. I really didn't have any man in my life, no uncle, nobody at church, nobody to lead me and teach me. And so I'm here to try to figure it out. I'm here to ask for some help. And so for that guy, you have to give some practical steps. Guys, let me just talk to you a minute. If you know what to do and how to do it and the right time to get it done, don't you usually do it? You're not shaking your head. I know this. My wife will give me a task, and if I don't know how to do it, I'm like, I don't know, what am I going to do? And if I don't know what it needs to look like or when it needs to be done, I don't know. But if I have some practical steps, then I can usually figure it out. Hey, I'm a man. I know this is true. If I know how to do it, know when to do it, know what it is, then I'll get it done usually. So we're going to dig a little deeper into that today as well. So I want everybody, if you have something to write with, I want you to write down four scriptures. I'm not going to read these scripture passages. I know you are used to Kenneth Bruce doing an expository sermon where he walks through a passage of scripture over a period of time. Today is a topical sermon, so I'm going to give you several Bible verses. So I want you to write down these scriptures, put them on your phone. This is something for you to read later, okay? I'm going to give these to you real quick. I think they're going to be on the screen. They are right there. Ephesians 5, 25 through 33 basically reminds you how to love your spouse. How the husband should love the wife, as Christ loved the church, how the wife should love the husband. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 7. You might want to read this without your kids around. It's all about intimacy, and I promise you'll want to go read it. So that's 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 7. 1 Peter 3, 7 is about showing honor to everybody in your family. So kids, we're going to talk about this in more detail in a few minutes, but I want you to know, kids, you are to show honor to your parents. There's a lot of ways to show honor to your parents. One way is to obey them. So we need to show honor. Husbands and wives need to show honor to one another. Whether you are in public or with your family or not with your family, show honor. 1 Timothy 5:8 is the last one here, and it reminds us that we have a responsibility to provide for our family. We all have a responsibility to provide for our family. And so one of the things that I've learned about providing, I was thinking about this yesterday. When I came here as pastor of families, and I hear I'm going to have a job description to basically lead our kids to be more godly and our families from birth to 18 and older. My thought was, okay, I'm willing to do that, but you know what? I need support. I need some money. I need a budget to get that done. And guess what? You guys, through our ministry that we give, through our offerings, you support that financially. You give me resources that way. But you also give support. So at home, when I'm talking about providing for your family, I'm not talking just about providing financially for your family. I'm talking about providing mentally, emotionally, spiritually as well. And so it's all of our responsibilities to do that. So kids, here's the deal. I need all kids' eyes on me. So I've asked your parents to take down these verses and to read them at some point in the next day or so. So that is called homework. So kids, your responsibility is tonight when you get home or this afternoon, you are to remind your parents to read those verses that Pastor Rick talked about, okay? Well, can you do that for me, kids? Let me see some head shakes. Yeah, you'll do that? Okay, good. So let's do our homework. So there are many passages that speak to the family. I've got two main passages I want us to look up today. And the first one, I want you to go ahead and find it. It is Ephesians 4, verse 4 through 6. Ephesians 4, verse 4 through 6. So what we're going to do is I'm going to lay this out. There's going to be two main support verses or thoughts about the family. And then we're going to come back and I'm going to share seven practical steps. So don't get scared. We're going to get out in the next few hours. So here we go. The first thing, I need you to look up that passage. So here's something that you need to know as parents. God is the only perfect parent. God is the only perfect parent. Let me read this passage. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Everybody say, God is the only perfect parent. God is the only perfect. So if God's the only perfect parent, guess what? You're not the perfect parent. And kids, guess what? Your parents are not perfect.
That's right.
You would like for them to be, and sometimes they come across like they are, but you need to know they're not perfect. They're not going to get it right every time. Sometimes your parents are going to make a terrible mistake in the way they manage a situation, or maybe in the way they manage you personally. Or it could be a situation about the family. It could have to do with finances. Could have to do with relationships outside of your family. But I want you to know your parents aren't perfect. Sometimes they're going to make a mistake. The only perfect parent is God. Everybody say, I'm not it.
Not that?
Yeah, you're not perfect. Here's what's great about that. If you know that you're not the perfect parent, that kind of relinquishes some of the thoughts of you trying to be perfect all the time. I mean, we want you to follow God. We want you to follow His Word. We want you to do what you're supposed to do as a dad or a mom and be responsible according to Scripture. But give yourself a little break from time to time. You're not perfect. So what can you do about that? You can say, I'm not the perfect parent. Huh, I wonder what God says about this situation. Go to the Bible. Go to a wise Christian friend. Listen closely to a sermon. God will give you direction because He is the perfect parent. And so I want you to know that as a family, it's important for us to have this particular mindset. Well, here's why. You'll never be perfect, and you'll never get things right every time. Smile at your wife or your husband real quick. There you go. All right, even though we're not perfect, we can still lead our kids in a positive, godly way. I want you to look up this passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7. Now, I've heard entire sermon series preached on this passage of Scripture. This passage is also often called the Great Shema, and this passage calls for total devotion. Don't miss the word total there. Total devotion to your family. Total devotion to your spouse. Kids, total devotion to your parents. Grandparents, parents who have kids in their 30s like I do, your job is not over. I mean, they may go home after Christmas and you go, woohoo, all right. But your job's not over as a parent. One of the things that I've found, and you may not have this situation, but my two girls still care what Carla and I think about things. And that didn't happen yesterday. That happened through a long period of time of parenting them well. Do we mess up a few times? Yeah, we're not going to talk about all that today, but it's happened. So let's look at this passage, starting in verse 6. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Parents, do you see your responsibility here when it comes to leading your family spiritually? You can look at that last part of that passage and understand that. But the main thing is your responsibility is to teach. Your responsibility is to guide. And it's also kind of like being a coach along the way. This is not a one-time conversation, the scripture says. You teach your children all the time when you lie down. We used to, when our kids were home, we prayed with them at night. We talked to them about spiritual things at night. We told Bible stories. We told fun stories, too, but we told Bible stories. We talked about biblical truths in the car. On vacations, we had some major arguments about salvation and what it meant and how you're saved. I shouldn't have said arguments, just discussions for a church group here. I want you to know that we discussed God as a family. And I want you to know that was a healthy thing, a very healthy thing. When they got ready to go to school, we prayed with them. We talked about what school might be like. We set some scenarios in front of them, say, what kind of decision would you make here? We talked about what was going on at school and at church and what they were learning. This passage basically says, talk about God, teach about God all the time if you're a parent. So during these conversations, guess what? You are actually leading your family to become more like Jesus. You're actually leading your family to follow God more closely.
Yeah.
For Christians, I want you to know, this is not if I feel like doing it, I should. It is not, if I need to, I will. No. This is, I must do this as a Christian parent. I must have these conversations. That is, if we want our family to honor God. So our responsibility is to not be the master teacher, but let God be the master teacher in your home. You may be saying, well, I've never done this kind of stuff, Rick. When do I start? Now. Now, you may say, I have good intentions, but good intentions won't get you there, will they? It takes action to get traction.
Yes.
It takes action to get traction. And it also takes you thinking through these things as a couple to help your kids understand the importance of who God is and why He loves us. You know, something that I feel like I'm being called to do. I've tried to do it all my life, but now it has words. It's just to add value to people. Don't you want to add value to your kids that will last for eternity? Let's just add spiritual Christian value to them. So Carla and I have been parents for 36 years, and we're not perfect. But we've learned a few things along the way. Some of them we had to learn the hard way, just like you. And some of them I've learned from watching other people. Some of them we've learned from our parents. And some of them we've learned directly from God's Word. So some of the things that I'm about to share are basically habits that we have learned and worked on over the years. And I want to share them with you now. These are seven habits. I'm going to go kind of fast through these, but I want you to know that these are important. I need you to take notes if you can. Seven habits that will help you do the things that we've talked about in me laying the groundwork here. First one is Proverbs 22:6. And the phrase would be intentional. Be intentional. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not, what? Depart from it. There's been a lot of talk around that verse. There's been a lot of sermons on that verse. There's been a lot of ideas around that verse. But basically, train means to do something continually over a long period of time to help them honor God. So first of all, you got to be intentional. You got to say, okay, we're going to get this ball rolling. Let's do this thing. It's more than a one-time effort, and it's more than, hey, we're going to try it for 3 weeks to see how it goes. It's a life change in you as parents to say, we're going to do this. Second one is be inquisitive. Be inquisitive. Luke 2:48 says this, and when his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Y'all remember what that story is about? Jesus was left at the temple, and so the parents went back, and Mary and Joseph, they're like, what are you doing? He didn't go with the group. That's probably happened to some of us before. But I think it's interesting. They ask him, why are you doing this? It's okay to ask your kids questions. It's okay to ask them why. It's okay, and even I would advise it, to ask them, how are you feeling? With all the stats I shared earlier, how are you feeling today? What's going on in your life? And I know at different times they don't want to answer you. You just have to keep asking. And you say, you know, so tell me what you're thinking about this. Oh, I heard about that. So what are your thoughts on that? Ask questions. It's so important to be inquisitive. The third one is be tender. Be tender. So fathers, Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's a pretty decisive verse there. It says, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. But the first part is don't provoke your children to anger. Once again, I've heard entire sermons on this. Bottom line is be tender in the way you handle your children while you're teaching them. When you're correcting them, be as tender as possible. So we have two girls. One of our girls, when we were correcting her, she pretty much had to have physical punishment. I mean, it's pretty much, that's just the way it was. I mean, it might start off, we were being real tender and kind, but it ended up, you know, to get her to understand, there was, you know, some of this that took place on her rear. But our other daughter was real tender. She could have done the exact same thing. I could approach her the same way, and she would start crying as soon as I sit her down and look at her in the eyes. And so the way we handle our kids is different. The way we handle our grandkids is different. But we need to be tender. I think that's the way Jesus would be in those situations. Number four is teach truth. Teach truth. Proverbs 1:8 says this, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Now, there's two things there. There's two things. The father and the mother are evidently together on what's being taught and what's being decided. Because Solomon here is saying, I want you to hear what your parents are saying. That's one part. So the parents are together on this. The second thing is this. Kids, we'll see your eyes again. All kids under 18. Your parents are there to teach you and to love you and to guide you. They're there for a purpose. They're not just there to make sure you get things and get plenty to eat and nice clothes or cars or whatever it might be. They are there to teach you how to be a godly person. And they probably won't know whether you understood it until you get about 30 years old. Okay? It's probably going to be about 30 before they're able to say, okay, they caught some of what I was teaching. But I want you to know, first of all, your parents are together. Second of all, kids. This verse basically says, you better pay attention to your parents. You better listen, because God has given them authority over you, and he's given them the mandate to teach. Number five is this: go to church together. Go to church together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this: and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Go to church. Come to church. I'm so proud of you guys for being here today once again. Let me encourage you. If you're missing 10, 12, 15, 20 times a year, try to change that this year. I was telling David earlier, this is not, what can we do for the New Year sermon necessarily, but it is as well. Let's lead our families better this year. So people take church for granted sometimes. Let me tell you something. We have people that love your kids. I'm going to prove it to you, and adults, I need y'all to help me here, because I'm trying to prove something, okay? If you work with or have worked with Vacation Bible School, preschool ministry, children's ministry, or student ministry at any time over the last 10 years, would you stand up for just a second? If you've done that in the last 10 years, just stay up. Awesome. Kids, teenagers, you teenagers have done it too. If you've worked in Bible school, camps, retreats, all right. So parents, I want you to look around. If some of you are standing up, parents, look around at these other people. These people love your kids. They want them to grow to be like Jesus. They plan lessons. They organize things. They prepare. They decorate. They fix cookies. They change diapers. They rock babies. They handle some difficult stuff with teenagers. Our church is so blessed that we have this many people who are just here today that give their time to our preschool children and student ministries. And so, guys, I want you to know, we as a church have made a pledge to come alongside families and help you in leading your families spiritually. I just want y'all to know that. Let's give these folks a big hand. Y'all have a seat. Two more. Number six is this: pray for your family members. Pray for your family members. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Pray for each other, husband and wife. Kids, pray for your parents. Parents, pray for your kids. Grandparents, pray for your grandkids. I want you to know that praying is so important. So in my family, when my kids were young, we prayed at dinner time. We prayed at breakfast time. Carla and I prayed for a biscuit I ate on the way here this morning. All right? We prayed in front of people. We didn't care. We pray at family gatherings. But our kids heard us pray for them regularly, because we pray for them every night out loud, every morning before school out loud. All of those things make a difference. Pray for your family. The last one is serve one another and others. I added "and others." Serve one another and others. For you were called to freedom, from Galatians 5. Called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So kids, what if I ask you to go home today and serve your parents? That'd be different, wouldn't it? for you to find something that your parents need and serve them. Yeah. But also, husbands, look for ways to serve your wife. I do this well about 50% of the time. Sometimes I get it right. My wife's over there. Sometimes not so good. But look for ways to serve your wife, husbands. Wives, look for ways to serve your husband. And the last part of this is, as a family, look for ways to serve other people together. And I think our church does a good job of that and offers some opportunities for that. And so I would encourage you to be a part of that. So serve one another. So let me ask you this. So men and ladies, now you have kind of a blueprint. Now you have kind of a, hey, what should I do? And how should I do it? I've shared that with you today from Scripture. So moving forward into this new year, it would be easy to try to form those habits. And I want to encourage you, you may not be able to form all of them at once. Pick one. Men, pick one. Say, this week I'm going to pray for my children every time I think about it. This year we're going to read Scripture more and more. We're going to make it a habit to be at church, even on days when we don't feel like it. We're going to learn to serve other people. And remember what I said earlier, intentions are nothing. It takes action to get traction. So maybe today you've heard this and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm doing some things well, not doing some things so well. I'm going to give an opportunity in just a minute for you as families who might want to come down to the front and just kneel down with your family and pray at the altar. I'm going to ask for some music to be played. As the music's played, if you want to do that, you come down. Everybody else, I'll just ask you to remain standing and just pray. But I also want to say this. It's hard to lead somebody to be like Jesus if you don't know Jesus. So there may be some people in here today, you're like, man, I really want to be a good dad. I really want to be a good mom. But you don't know Jesus. So you don't have him leading you. And so I want to encourage you. Don't try to do this on your own. Allow God to lead you. Allow God to lead you. So if you've never prayed and given your life to Jesus, you've never said, Lord, I have not lived for you and I want to live for you. I believe that you sent your son to die on the cross for me. I believe that he died for my sins. And I believe that if I put my trust and faith in him and I commit to live for him, that one day I'll get to go to heaven. But I also believe, as Scripture says, that I will be able to find joy, true joy on this earth. Maybe today you're not married, but you want to start a family someday. I'd encourage you to come down in just a moment and pray. And take time to do that with your family. If you've never prayed and asked Jesus in your heart, there are going to be some men over here at that exit sign who will be glad to talk with you about that. Or you can catch me after the service and we'll talk about that. So I want you to know, guys, we are a graced people, more than we would ever know. And even though there's this silent tragedy happening all around us, we know who's in control. And we know if we put our faith and trust in him, he will help us to honor him in the days ahead with our family. I want all of us to lead our families well. I want to ask you to stand at this time. And if you want to walk down with your family and pray for just a minute, we're not going to be long. Pray for just a minute up front. I'll give you the opportunity to do that. Everyone else, I'm just going to ask that you just bow your heads and you pray for your own family. Is there anybody who would want to come down and ask Jesus in their heart? You can do that today as well. We won't be long. Maybe today, right where you are, men, you take the hand of your spouse or your kids next to you. Just Pray for them. Love on them. Maybe you're a single adult. Pray about your future spouse or pray about how God can lead you over the next few years. Maybe you're a teenager. You want to have a godly family one day. You want to lead in a way that honors God. Pray that prayer right now. Father, we thank you so much for how you love us and how you give us opportunities to grow to be more like you. Father, this next year can be fantastic as long as we follow you step by step. Lord, help us to have a love for your word, a love for your church, a love for your people. Help us to be an encourager. Help us to teach where we need to teach and lead where we need to lead, guide where we need to guide. Father, I pray that in the coming year, that Father, all of these families at Westwood, all of the people that raised their hand at the start of this service that said, I'm part of a family, I pray that every one of them and myself would honor you in the way we relate to our families. Help us, Father, to be people who add value to others for your glory and honor. Help us be people that invest in others who will impact their world for Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to learn today.
Sir.
Lord, I do pray your blessings over everyone in this room and everyone in the sound of my voice, Father, that they might know that you are God, they might love you more than ever, and they would recognize your love for them. These things, Father, we pray in your blessed and holy name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So guys, thank you for being here today. You heard earlier that next week all of our normal services start back. And so I hope you'll come back next Sunday. I hope you all have a great week this week. I want to say what Kenneth always says. You are...